can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome back to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. For those that might be joining us here today, I'm going to do part two of Total Population Control, and it's linked into the veteran suicide and mind control, and what's really going on with it. People looking for answers. The problem is they're looking for answers within themselves, and they will not find it. Haven't found it yet. They're not going to. It's not going to happen. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I want to, again, open up the eggs, crack them, and show you just what's really going on. That's what I can tell you. And I know one thing, that several things, actually, that people are not interested in what's really going on. Sounds a little precarious, don't it? They have a core belief that's been instilled into them since they were in grade school. And it's like they're under a spell of not wanting to know the truth. Those of you that are awake, you know that there's a one of those mimes, mimes going around in the Facebook. Shows a poor little old polar bear. I wonder whatever happened to it. Big old guy, actually, not a little one. On an iceberg, I should say an icebergette, hanging on for dear life. This little tiny iceberg, I mean, hanging on to it. Not comfortably either. Well, that's you. Because the worse it gets, people try to find the answer within themselves, not going to. And you try to talk about Jesus Christ, about the supernatural, the reality of what, of who's in control, who's orchestrating this conspiracy, you're not going to have many friends left, including family, because they don't want to, they don't want to let go of their core belief of the system which they've born into. So all you have to do is just plant the seed, and you're going to have to move on, because they're not going to listen to you until Holy Spirit opens them up. And as soon as it's, the veil is lifted, well, hopefully they'll remember what you said. Because right now, from what I gather, my research and listening to other folks' testimonies, so forth, is the natural realm is gaining a lot of ground, to say the least. For those not protected, they're starting to see and experience supernatural events, attacks. They also see that mankind around them, as depicted in the news and their own hometowns that never had violence, or they're starting to see an increase of violence, domestic violence to be exact, violence against children. Well, it's always been bad. Yeah, but it's becoming more pronounced now. So it seems that when things are good, people go to God. When things are starting to look bad, they go within themselves and try to figure out what's wrong and then get back to God. Then when it gets really bad and they can't deal with it anymore, they don't have any way they can fix it, then they go back to God again. This is how it works. It's almost predictable. Only time they ever really go to God looking for answers with the emotion, with the love, with the desire, with the real fear, with the so forth, is when they've run out of options. Then they go to God, when they should have went to God first to find out what options were available. But that's not how it works. They go to God after everything is completely used up. So that's how it works. They go to God in the good days, and when they're, oh, we're going to Sunday school this morning. You ready to go? Yes. We're going to go after. We're going to a buffet. Oh, glory to God. Let's go. Okay, great. And they worship him and they do this. And they sing his songs and everybody's happy. Pass the plate around. Oh, yeah. Bring that plate. The preacher up there, the rabbi, the priest, pope, whatever, start rubbing his knuckles. Oh, yeah. Put the money in the plate. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Mega churches got dollar signs in their eyeballs. Worthless churches. Do some people get saved? Yes. But a lot get pseudo-saved. Is there such a word? They think they are, but they're not. So then when things start getting bad, they stop going to churches. We're going to work it out ourselves. Let's form a militia. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's not going to work. So when they finally run out of options, their drastic measures are being taken. They're down to their last whatever it is, that their last nerve, and somebody's standing on it. Then they go back to God because they have no more options. So God is the last option instead of being the first one. Works in that cycle. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Right there in front of you. But it takes the tribulations to get their mind off of what's off the distractions. America's going to get hit. There's no question about that. It's been planned for hundreds of years. They used us up to collect debt from the globalists. Freemasons are behind it. Really, the Freemasons, most of them don't know it, but they're the foot soldiers for the New World Order and the Luciferian agenda. They don't even know it. The Vatican, or the orchestrators, the Illuminati, or the orchestrators above the Vatican, Italian, German, Assyrians, Assyrians, tribe of Dan. But above them is a supernatural realm that's controlling the whole shebang. Alice Bailey, who I'll talk about today, is her teachings and her letters that she brought did not come from her or Helena Blavatsky. Michael Aquino, Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, Teilhard de Chardin, the priesthood is over your government, controls your government. Their agenda controls the Bilderberg Group, controls the Club of Rome, controls the Council of Foreign Relations, and the Council of Foreign Relations tells our government what they will and won't do. The presidents, the Eric Holders and Bernanskis and all these guys, there's nothing. It'll be replaced with a phone call in 1 hour. It's not a problem. They make it a big deal because they're the fall guys. Your Hillary Clintons and presidents and all those in the U.S. government are nothing, man. They're a dime a dozen. Don't matter who it is, four-star generals, admirals, and they're nothing, man. They are nothing whatsoever. They can replace them so fast, they would have time to get back from the bathroom in time before they're already replaced. It don't matter if they're a four-star general or admiral. It don't make a lick of difference. They use them. When they're no more usable, within an hour, they can replace them. It's not a problem. Not even an issue. That's a fact, too. They think otherwise as they're considered important, but they're not at all. They're only important as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do by the agenda, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the Luciferian agenda that they're fooled into thinking is of God, and it's not. This is the reality that people don't want to know. That's why the tribulations are going to come, to wake people up. Tribulations are a punishment, a judgment. It's to knock them out of this stupor that we're in, this control, the mind control. That's also technology we'll talk about. Dedicate the broadcast, and I'm rearing to go. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray today. Father, ask you to give us them a discernment today, Lord. Protect us from any interruptions. Guide us today that our word will be put out. Lord, we call upon you, your Holy Spirit, to protect those that's being sought after today for the sacrifices that's coming up by the Wicca in the September, Mabon, in the 21st September and October. Father, we know many sacrifices will take place. We call upon you, Lord, that you'll protect those. Father, in your wisdom, discernment, your wisdom that you have, Lord, the knowledge that you have of the future, that, Lord, you'll use us. You'll find ways that we can be used in your kingdom to help others, to guide us for your will, that your will be done, not our own. But, Father, show us the way. Protect those, Lord, that's being sought after for these sacrifices. Put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, they may escape, or, Lord, to even convert entire covens. But, Lord, to take away the protection of these covens, strip them down of all ranks, expose this Illuminati for who and what they really are, and expose the White Brotherhood, the great White Brotherhood of the fallen angels, to expose them too, Lord, of the evil that they really hide behind their masquerade of benevolent beings, to strip down their protection, to show them how the evil that they really are. That, Lord, that people will be able to pray against them and be able to pray the full armor of God around them. Lord, that's why we pray. We pray on the belt of truth that you're our wisdom, a counselor, our hope and strength, and everything we need each day. Father, we pray on that plate of righteousness. Father, thank you for forgiving us and for filling us with your righteous life. Thank you for taking our sins on the cross and offering us your perfect righteous life to show us any sin that we might need to confess right now so that, Father, we can clear it up, that nothing will hinder us from being filled to overflow with your Spirit. Lord, we put on that sandals of peace. And we thank you for the peace you give us. We trust and follow you. Show us how to help others find that same peace. Father, protect them as we witness to others, deliver, and Father, pray away the demonic influence. Father, we take up the shield of faith. Thank you for helping us have faith in you, to choose to count on everything you've shown us about yourself, everything you promised us in your King James Bible, your Holy Word. And Father, to pray on our heads the helmet of salvation, to thank you for promising us salvation, both for today's battles and for all eternity. Protect our minds from the unclean thoughts. Give us that wisdom and discernment to do your work, do your will. And Lord, pray into our hands the sword of His Spirit, the Word of God. Thank you for the scriptures of the King James Bible that you've given us to memorize, to take in, and to recite to others, to learn ourselves, to show us what you want us to cut through the deceptions and gain your victory in any battle we might face today through the courage of this Holy Word and your Holy Spirit to guide us. We pray for our veterans, Father, to send divine appointments their way, Lord, that they'll take their minds off this suicide. It's like 26 per day, Lord, is too many, and one a day is too many. Lord, that you'll pray. We pray that you will find ways to protect them, counsel them, set up divine appointments that will change their minds, Lord, to inspire them with the hope that you offer. We pray for the children that's going to be abducted, that they'll be released. They'll find ways to escape from the sacrifices that's coming up. And Father, to raise the awareness of the Wicca that's in the governments, to understand how they work, to pray against them. And Father, we pray for our brethren we've prayed for in the past, Lord, for the healings, bringing families together, Lord, and prepare for the end times events that we see coming across the world soon. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I was talking yesterday, some clips that I hadn't played before, some I have. I put them together in a kind of a sequence of sort to show you how the mind control is being orchestrated, clearly. And there's an attack on our own veterans to reduce their effectiveness so they'll not be effective during the bringing in of the New World Order, the North American Union. Because they trained us well. But they also know how we're trained, they know how we think, how we are. It's allowed our own government, and no different than Europe, no different than any other government, not only to control the population, but also to focus on our veterans to take them down. And make it easier for the New World Order to take over the North American continent. As a start. I talked about demonstrated about the mark of the beast and how clergy today are actually going to support taking that mark. I mean, it's as clear as day. I mean, I didn't think it'd come this off this soon and that blatant as John MacArthur, for example. I mean, he heard his words yesterday, his own mouth. And the ones, the two interviewers on that radio program was also for it. I don't understand how they can talk about God, believe in God, at the same time promote what they know is going to take people to hell. That, I'm lost. Totally lost. I don't see the thinking, unless they're totally Satanist, completely fooling people about being Christian. And then it comes to mind, and I guess this is the time to put this in. I put things together before I get started, but sometimes I try to figure out what God's leading me to put certain things in order, why I'm doing it. And what comes to my mind is that comment made by Victoria Osteen. Unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. And then you look in the crowd where she's speaking of, and you look in the crowd, over 10,000 people or more on any given time, any given time. Lakewood Church co-pastor Victoria Osteen received serious backlash from the Christian community after her August sermon surfaced, showing Osteen encouraging congregants to do good for your own self. I mean, this is unbelievable, because God takes pleasure when you're happy. Well, family, this is a blatant, 100% humanistic theology. You can't get more humanistic than this. And yet she says it without blinking an eye. Without blinking an eye. And that means they're completely comfortable about now coming out. Even Billy Graham is following up with this. Not just this, what she did, but his own, that you don't have to know the name of Jesus, but just to know Christ. Well, he's talking about the false prophet, the Christ. You see, that's where he's coming from. He doesn't say you don't have to know the name of Jesus. Well, you do. It's Jesus Christ. And you see, that's real tricky. And those under that spell of Billy Graham won't see this. Billy Graham was funded by the Rockefellers back in 1949, 1950. He was a Jesuit from day one. And funded by the Rockefellers and Randolph Hearst. Unbelievable. And then he had to come in teaching the true word of God, evangelizing people in the right way, to be accepted by the baby boomer, father and mother of the baby boomers, because the baby boomers were then children to become adults in the 1970s to be parents. So he had to come in the 1950s for the acceptable theology at that period to be accepted. He was well trained by the Jesuits. This is a fact. This is not speculation or conspiracy theory. So now it's like they're all activated. It's like, okay, now y'all can come out. Well, I found a pretty good video that talks about this. I'm going to play you. It's a good discussion. And to show you how they're changing and the concept, you still have people out there that know the true word. So here's what she says. Listen to this.
God just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's Bill Crosby. Okay. So, that just makes me stammer and stutter. But that's all, folks. I mean, really. You look at the stage, it's like, it's bigger than any Super Bowl. I've never seen nothing like it. How come people just didn't walk out in mass? That would have been the right thing to do. Just walk out. Right then and there. And not go back. But they didn't. Because they were mind controlled. They're caught in this cloud of mediocrity. Of being fooled. Of a core belief. Of confusion. So they just stand there. Others, yeah, you know, she's right. Yeah, because of prosperity teaching. And others like, oh my gosh, like, what do we do now? See, that's exactly what they're trying to do, is cause confusion. Right now, chaos. Order out of chaos. There was a pretty good discussion about this. I'll play it for a little while. About this. About Christians, how they react to the comments she made. Now, this is all part of mind control. This is all part of the teaching of the New Age movement. Humanism. It's what we've all been taught. Didn't even know it. In the background, keeping us all busy. False history, mediocrity in science, mathematics, everything. Now they're changing everything. So what happened to the old part? Common core, no child left behind. All this is part of their plan. Here we go.
When you go to church next Sunday, you might not be doing it for God, but to satisfy your own selfish needs. Can you believe that? That's what some people are saying, or at least that's how people are interpreting the remarks that were made by popular Lakewood Church co-pastor Victoria Osteen. Check this out. Victoria Osteen, check this out.
She plays the same one.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen.
That's what makes God happy. Happy. I would sing Pharrell right now, but it'll cost us more than we can afford. Victoria Osteen is married to televangelist Joel Osteen, who made these comments back in August. But footage of the sermon is now making the rounds on social media, and that's why the firestorm is a-brewing. I have a group of people who want to talk about this. They're not Google Hangout. We have Rick Henderson, pastor of adult ministries at South Mountain Community Church. We have Steve Kemp, pastor of the Cross Church. Thank you both for being here. Rick, what do you remarks? I heard them this weekend. Again, the interwebs were filled with this chatter this weekend. I heard the remarks. They struck a chord with me. What did they make you feel?
You know, a couple of things. They made me feel thankful and they made me feel uncomfortable. The reason that I'm thankful is because I just appreciate her being upfront about what it is they teach and what it is that they believe. The reason that it makes me uncomfortable is really the statement, God takes pleasure when we're happy. And here's the tension. Is it that we make God happy or that God makes us happy? And I think they're just kind of throwing up a view of the Bible and Christianity that says, hey, you know, figure out what makes you happy and God will serve that. And it's really about you. I'm not saying they're not Christians, but what they're teaching isn't Christianity. when the Bible
says,
teaches,
I'm not saying they're not Christians, but it's never a good thing.
Well, sure. Obviously, I don't endorse what they're saying. The message of the gospel would be that happiness isn't found from God. It's found in Him and the life that He intends. And I don't want to dominate your time. I know we got Steve here who has some things that he wants to jump in and share. But I think that's really the big difference here.
That's an interesting perspective, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today. Great to be with you.
Pleasure. How did you respond when you heard this?
You know, I just responded, I guess, on two fronts. One, that Victoria seems like a sweet person, but an uninformed person. She can't be really a pastor of a church. There's no place in Scripture for a woman to be a co-pastor of anything. And she needs to be discipled. We would say in Christian terms, she seems immature, but yet very sincere in what she's proclaiming. Happiness is not the biblical emotion that we are concerned about. Joy is a whole other thing. Happiness is fleeting. It's based on circumstance, environment. Joy is something that is based on relationship with God. So when anyone comes to the Scripture and tries to recreate God in their own image, in this case, God is only happy when we're happy, then we see an unbiblical model of what it means to worship Him. You seem to be familiar with the Scriptures, and we know that the Scriptures are not so much concerned about our happiness, but about our holiness. And God is holy, and the command, even in the Old Testament as well as the New, is be ye holy, for I am holy. That is something that escapes kind of a dumbed-down version of God today, where when we define Him in pragmatic terms rather than in biblical ones, we can see folks like Victoria misstep.
Joel, I worry that this can become a sort of gendered critique when we say, well, you know, she's not capable of doing this, she's immature. I think their theology, if you want to call it a theology, is rooted in a very particular type of prosperity gospel. And it's not just about the Osteens. I think it's actually bigger than the Osteens. And I want to kind of pivot a little bit and say, look, you know, there is a movement in mainstream Christianity that has always existed, to be sure, whether it's Father Divine or Reverend Ike or whomever, to the Jimmy Swaggarts up until now. But, you know, when you start seeing the Frederick Prices, when you start to see the Creflo Dollars, you begin to hear prosperity gospels which shift God from perhaps, as Steve pointed out, an Old Testament God of justice to one of individual joy and titillation. And that's not just about the Osteens. That's about maybe a twisted view, maybe even a neoliberal view of God and of the church. Rick, what do you say?
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for letting me speak to that. You're right. This is a big movement, and it's saturating a lot of churches. Anytime you hear pastors talk about this is the year of God's favor, anytime you hear pastors talk a lot about destiny, you know, your antenna should go up and say, what exactly do they mean by this? And where Steve and I might disagree a little bit is I do think God wants us to be holy, but I think He's just as invested in our joy. I mean, over and over in the New Testament, it talks about so that your joy will be made complete. The first fruit, the second fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy. God wants us to have joy found in Him. The problem with this kind of conversation is that everybody has a different definition of happiness, and there's a lot of different assumptions built into it. With the guys that you mentioned, they put themselves at the center, and they identify different things, whether it's a lifestyle, whether it's notoriety, whether it's a certain level of wealth, and this would make me happy, and God serves that, and I obey Him, and I declare faith so that He'll give it to me. That is what's called the prosperity gospel or the word of faith movement. What we're saying is that's not what the Bible teaches. That's something that they're abusing the Bible to try and promote. What the Bible teaches is that our happiness is found in, like Steve said, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And knowing Him that we have a great relationship. The difference is like this. Imagine you have a friend who takes you out to lunch quite a bit, and you are the kind of person you say, I just hang out with this person because they buy things for me, they spend their money on me. Well, you're not really a friend. Kanye West might have a song for somebody like you. But if you're the kind of person that says, I like being with them, and I am thankful for whenever they decide to be generous with me, that's a very different approach to relationship. And I want to be very clear that that's the kind of thing we're talking about, just on a much bigger level.
Steve? Yeah, Mark, if I can just interject, when you approach God as if he's some sort of celestial Monty Hall offering you door number one, door number two, and door number three, if he's the magic genie, when you equate money with authenticity of Christianity, you've got a problem. I would question and say very directly, the prosperity gospel is no gospel at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not like many who peddle the word of God for profit, literally to make retail merchandise of the truth. So that's part of the problem. I'm glad you identified it. The bigger issue with that whole movement is that God is used to get things rather than invested in that which is eternal. And when we come to worship, worship is not about us getting anything. It's about us giving everything to the one Lord God of all and treating him. If I can just mention one scripture out of the Old Testament, Leviticus, and this is, by the way, a New Testament reality as well. When Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord and they were executed because they did not do what God commanded, Moses told a grieving father two things. He says, thus says the Lord, when you come before me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. He won't share that with another, and I think that's at the heart of Victoria's comments.
No, and I think that's the ultimate point here. I think that there has to be a religious narrative. And again, it's not about the Osteens. I think there's a much bigger current where religion has been melded with self-help, where we've stripped this theology of any sort of hermeneutical teeth. I mean, to the point that you hear some of these sermons from people and you don't even hear sermons, right? It's just like hearing a Tony Robbins talk, right? I mean, there's no scripture.
That's exactly right.
But that's why a therapeutic.
But more importantly, they're immature to the extent I think they don't demand anything of us. The idea from prosperity gospels of sowing seeds. Sowing seeds was hard work. I mean, people think of sowing seeds, that's actual work, you know, but now it's just like, I'll go to church, I'll give the pastor some money and I'll get paid myself. It's like,
but Mark,
compare this,
and I agree with you, compare this to the biblical gospel. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me.
Right.
To die before you live, to give up everything so you can gain everything, to give all that you are for all that he is. That's what's missing in that narrative. And I tell you, 2,000 years now after the Lord, people still don't know what the biblical gospel is, and that's at the heart of it. I'm glad you're bringing that up, Mark, that the center should be the cross, not a gaining of some sort of temporal crown in this life.
That's exactly right. And if the dollar gets put above the cross, so to speak, you end up in a very dangerous place.
That's one of the better interviews I've heard, and I wanted to play that whole thing because it really covers the whole gambit. In a very good interview.
Want proof that?
Now, based on that key idea, I find it very interesting that when you look at Anton LaVey in Satanism, Anton LaVey was screaming at his deathbed when he was leaving because God gave him the image of where he was headed. This is not right. Something's wrong here. Something. He was not happy when he was dying. LaVey, well, here's their philosophy, real quick. Central is the idea that in LaVeyanism, Satanism, is the idea that an individual must enforce their own meaning on life. And rise above the perceived conformity of the masses. The Satanist is seen as equivalent to Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche. LaVey claimed that Satanists are born, not made. And that Satanists have a disease called independence that needs to be recognized just as the alcoholism. There are progressive and libertarian elements here. Diversity is encouraged. Everyone is expected to discover their own sexuality, chart their own personality, and decide their own ambitions in life. In this stress on individuality, Satanism is considered a left-hand path religion. Self-transformation. Adherents to this life-denying religions are often regarded as self-abrogating and abnegating in their devotion to their own civility. LaVey's satanic creed views religion as promoting an impersonal kind of relationship with what the church has referred to as God. Satanism was presented as an opportunity to self-identify with one's own concept of God. Great attention was paid to details that, from the films like White Heat or The Big Sleep, creating one's ideal self from this deliberately informed forms, encourages a follower of the religion to grow throughout their life as they see fit. Make yourself happy. LaVeyan Satanism is critical of the Abrahamic sexual mores. They consider them narrow, restrictive, and hypocritical. Sex is viewed as an indulgence, but one that should only be freely entered into with consent. They have 11 satanic rules of the earth. Do you know who owns Satan's Bible? Rupert Murdoch, who's a member of the Knights of Malta, whose pastor is Rick Warren, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Ever heard of him before? A Purposeful Driven Life, trashy book, New Age Theology. Rick Warren, Chrislam, Christianity, Islam combined. Rupert Murdoch owns Satan's Bible. But that's not all. He also owns the copyright to the NIV Bible. Zondervan Press, he owns controlling interest. Let me see for a second. Is that a possibility of a conflict of interest? No, not really, because NIV is of Satan anyway. Designed specifically to mislead. And yet all the churches, majority of churches push the NIV. Many churches here in Mount Air, North Carolina, carry the NIV around. I said, Pastor, it's missing verses. Well, I have my King James Bible too. I use both of them. All I can do is sit there and look and blink my eyes. They don't understand how to get across to those that are pastors. Something's going on. It's increasing exponentially. So with what Victoria Osteen said, do you possibly see a connection with Satanism? How about the common doctrines and goals of secular humanism? Marxism and Leninism deny the existence of God, deny the existence of a soul, deny the existence of absolute moral laws, deny the existence of any inalienable rights, including the rights guaranteed to us by the U.S. Constitution, which doesn't exist today anyway, deny the sanctity of individual human life, claim that they can only be successful in creating their utopia by establishing a world government or a new world order. And they believe that their traditional family must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace. Now, work this in. If you've listened to my broadcast before, you know that I talk a lot about the media controlling us. What have you seen the programs lately? What are they coming up in the fall? The Flash, Green Arrow, all this stuff. Superheroes, superpower. You can be like gods. Just get bit by a spider or some experiment gone wrong turns you into a superhero. No problem, right? What's the other shows? The other shows are Utopia. You see where I'm headed with this? Utopia. And you've got Survivor. All these things, right? Okay. They control the media. 100%. They also know the Bible better than most Christians do. Probably better than all Christians, probably. Because they look for, because they know it's going to come true. They're just trying to stop it. So to stop it, they must learn who the enemy is. The enemy is you. The enemy is the King James Bible. So they got to know the Bible in order to defeat the Bible. Now, this is unlike everybody else. Everybody else just wants to live, watch TV, play golf, watch cars go around and circle 500 times and call it 500 miles, whatever. Watch fantasy football, work their life off away, whatever, just moving along and not paying attention. And when you try to tell them, they want to listen to it. On the other hand, the humanist, which controls the governments, the Satanist, which control the governments, they're taking a realistic look at who their enemy is. And their enemy is God. Literally. Now, the Satanists don't believe in supernatural. They believe in their own selves. Luciferians believe in Lucifer, a supernatural being of sort. When we know that Lucifer and Satan are the same, the supernatural world is the same. Now, they know that Bible is going to come true, or at least head that way. So, they've been showing the population how to survive when that great earthquake happens in the sixth seal. When they launch it, they're going to be where? Or they think, well, underground. They think they're going to be in their cities underground while everybody else on top goes through the tribulations. So they're passing on how to, even children, they have some kind of program or reality show where children are forming their own pig farm or something like that. What is it? I forgot what you call it. Back in the 70s, 80s, it was, what was it? Not Animal Farm, but that was another one. But I can't think of the name of it right now. Where the kids were, it was back in the 80s, back in the 70s, actually. Is the 70s, where they had the kids form their own little community, like on Survivor. It's like Animal Farm. It'll come to me shortly. In any case, that's what they're doing. Because they think they'll be underground while everybody else dies, goes through the tribulations and so forth. And when everything's done, they're going to come out and take over what's left. You see, that's what they believe. And they can defeat God at his own game by mastering, with technology, the forces of nature. That's where you get weather control and earthquakes and how to harness meteorites and so forth using technology. Star Wars. You see, that's what the big picture is. They know they're going up against the supernatural being or aliens. Some of them believe it's aliens. Under the guise of World War III, a fake World War III. This is the big picture. HARP. 3D holographic imagery. Disclosure. Sanan d'Emmanuel. It all fits in. But in the meantime, they got to mind control a population to keep them dumbed down so nobody can figure it all out. That's where humanism comes in. You get rid of God, you put, what does everybody need? Their own lives. You take their lives away, means they want their lives, then you let them have it through humanism. And that's what they've been preaching and teaching in every public school, college, university, since the day any of us was ever born. Remember I said many times, 1930, Charles Francis Potter, a humanist, said, I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism," unquote. And by that, 59 years later, different humanists and educators confirmed that Marxism, socialism, humanism is taught in every college, university in the United States. 1987 to 1989, I've got quotes confirming this. teachers that are taught to discredit religion, which not hard to do, really, because the King James Bible is not based on religion. Disdain public enterprise, to show contempt for parents who don't want to totally surrender the role of educating the children to the teachers. Now they want to relinquish the teachers and bring them to the United Nations control, International Rights of the Child, by showing the bad acting teachers and principals in the school system by design. Where's all this planned? Where's this coming from? Tavistock in England. I thought you might want to know. The Royal Institute of National Affairs in England is Illuminati in England, the controlling factor. Also has under its purview Tavistock, a behavioral think tank of massive proportions. So, for those going to take back our country thing going on, you have to undo hundreds of years, 100 years, 200, 300 years of core belief. That's just one tiny part of it. Humanist Manifesto 2 says, I quote, "We affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational." Remember, make yourself happy, right? "Don't worry, be happy." Remember McFarlane? The songs they used? "Don't worry, be happy. We are the world." You see what they've done all along. It's been ingenious. You even say the songs today when you're doing something. You remember the song back in the 80s? "We are the world, blah, 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 blah." Everybody holding hands, cooking marshmallows. Well, that's not how it's going to be. Because humanism is linked up to Satanism, Satanism to Luciferianism, and they sacrifice, murder children. They just don't tell you that. It's Wicca, witchcraft, Freemasonry. I call it like I see it, with the evidence. "We affirm," they say, "that moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanction. Ethics stems from human need and interest. To deny this distorts the whole basis of life," unquote. Man, if Victoria Osteen's not humanist, I don't know what is. Right there, mate. Satanism is humanism. And she specifically laid out humanism and Satanism in their church. Clear cut, and the two don't match. With Christianity and Satanism, there's a slight conflict of interest. But then again, if you're a humanist, you realize that there's duality. That you must have good with evil and evil with good to have a complete body, a complete person. Really? It says who? It says the secret societies and the Satanists. That's who. That's where you get the evil in Satan and the evil in Lucifer, or the good in Lucifer, so they say, as duality. Oh, by the way, that duality is taught to your children at 5 years old. It's called My Little Pony on TV. The nightmare and the good mare, they have their earth, wind, fire. It's all witchcraft. Look how they mask it. Even got a pink Ouija board. Oh, man, are they clever or what, huh? So to keep people dumbed down, they use technology that actually synthesizes demonic influence. In other words, they have synthetic demons. Demons are specks of light, energy, that enters in when you become, use one of those sinful natures. Is actually conducted, if you want to call that, use that word, by demonic influence that come inside you. They say homosexuality is, you're born with it. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, yeah, you are. Other things. No. It's same thing, adultery, homosexuality. It's fulfilling your lust. And that lust, when you have it, or that anger, or whatever, picks up on a demonic entity that has that same frequency that you're feeling that enhances it. It's physics. It's what it is, not philosophy. Well, with microchip implants, they can cause that by science. Demonic influence, thereby making it more easy, making it easier for the demonic entities to come inside your body to once and for all get bodies back like they had before the flood. That's a whole thing going on. That's what's happening today, is they have synthesized demonic activity using technology. Then to make it easier for the demonic realm to come inside your body to take back bodies that they want to use as in the days of Noah. This is where the mark of the beast comes in. Now, yesterday, part one, you see how I've woven this together? Showed you the theology of it, showed you what's behind it in very short form, and then where they're headed with it. Technologies are designed specifically to track and monitor human beings. It's been developed for at least 30, 40 years, actually. It goes back to the 60s, actually the 50s. In the virtual realm, your software programs are capable of watching us in real time. The STAVE system. I tried to tell some folks about the STAVE system back in 2007 and 8. Oh, Tom, you're being ridiculous. That's only there at the intersections to show if somebody runs through a red light. Oh, how come they have it at stoplights, too? Anyway, the STAVE system goes back to 19... STAVE, S-T-A-V, of cameras at intersections, goes back to the 1970s. I think they're quite a bit better today than they were back then. That's 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. They've enhanced it quite a bit. Now they have satellites. I'm going off the grid. I'm taking out my cell phone. I ain't using a cell phone anymore. I got this handy dandy inside trick little thing I've got around my battery, and I've got this metal plate or something, and I've rigged it myself, they say, and I can hide. I can go off the grid. They can track your DNA from satellite. Oh, my gosh. You have to get a blood transfusion. When they got your DNA, they can track your DNA because you put off an energy signature. And so the microchip that you've ingested by breathing called smart dust, all right? Look up smart dust. Just do it right now. Now, you can disbelieve me and you can leave the broadcast if you want to. This guy is crazy. But it would behoove you to look up the word, two words, smart dust. All it is breathable microchips put out by the chemtrails. It enhances your DNA signature so they can track you. Then they implant you with a device. 7,800 veterans are suing the DOD and CIA for nose implants called septal implants. Look it up right now. You'll find it. The voice-to-skull technology I talked about yesterday. Hey, y'all can run away from it if you want to, but you're not going to make it very far. Supernaturally, a trust in God is your only option. There is no other option. It's going to come down to that. These suicides by our veterans are being orchestrated, and the Joint Chief of Staff, they know this. Because a lot of them, there's a number of them that are members of the Council of Foreign Relations. And they brief the Council of Foreign Relations. That means they're a part of the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of Foreign Relations, that is the, T-H-E, capital T, Illuminati in the United States. In which Cheney was a director at one time. He did, as he says his own words, he purposely didn't inform the voters in Wisconsin of that. And they have a little chuckle about it in a statement he makes in the luncheon. Just that little slide comment tells you right there there's something to be said about the Council of Foreign Relations that Hillary Clinton confirms, tells them what to do at the State Department. It goes so far as this makes predictions about our future behaviors. These things you see on TV and the movies, they're predicting a crime that's going to happen before it happens. That's actually true. But they put it on fictional TV, fictional storylines and movies. So if you mention it, so what? I saw it on a movie. What's the big deal? Or it's on a video game. This is how you hide it and open right up in your nose. Ha! No pun intended. Oh, that was pretty good, wasn't it? You know, they send alert to the appropriate monitoring station, depending on how a computer algorithm flags your activities and mindset. That's in of itself a scary proposition. Family, they're already there. They can plant thoughts in people's heads and make them commit a crime. I.e. mass murder their family. It's being done often now. Or committing suicide at 26 per day. 26 per day. But no, it was post-traumatic stress. Really? 80% of those suicides per day haven't seen combat. 60% never been deployed. Something's wrong there. And they got some so-called help council committee is trying to help our veterans. At one time, Paul Rykoff, who was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, a former veteran, no less, was heading it out. No, to slow it down. To make sure nobody effective would really accomplish anything. That's what Paul Rykoff was there for. To make sure it didn't accomplish. How does generals and admirals and former veterans sell out their own veterans? I don't understand that. I haven't figured that one out yet. You know what may be even scarier is what's happening in the physical realm. You know, according to researchers working on human embedded microchips, it's only a matter of time before these systems actually achieve worldwide widespread acceptance. CIA has identity thieving experts that just work round the clock, stealing identities and so forth. Aren't you tired of having your identity stolen? Yeah, I am too, yeah. Don't you want to just have it protected on your skin and a digital tattoo like Regina Duggan said and that interview yesterday. That way it's protected. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. That's what John MacArthur says. He says the so-called John MacArthur, expert in the Bible, not. Says okay to take the mark of the beast. You'll be forgiven for it. Well, it's not what the Bible says. To take the mark of the beast, here's what you're going to have to do. David Spengler puts it in words that can be understood. Quote, David Spengler, Director of Planetary Initiative, United Nations, no one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. That particular initiation will be introduced at mid-tribulation. To prepare them for it, they will use humanism. Make yourself happy. See how it's working? It's called softening you up. This was planned back in the 1870s. Albert Pike. they'll destroy religion as you know it when this thing happens. The Antichrist will take over at mid-tribulation, and you'll be required to take an oath to Lucifer and put the mark on, or you have to die. Well, there's no dying. There's eternity. And where are you going to be when the eternity happens? That's up to you and Jesus Christ. See how this works? But right now they're softening you up, hoping that... See, it has to be by voluntary, though. There's no way society would accept such a device as this, initially. Why would anyone want to implant this in their body? Consider for a moment, then, where we are right now. Decades, Americans have rejected the notion that they'd submit to being tracked and recorded. Everybody's going off the grid. Everybody's got their own little tricky ways and, you know, and home economics and all, I don't know, whatever. And Scientific American, I'm just making these up, tells you how to protect your cell phone from being tracked and how to protect your car from being tracked and all this 007, double aught not stuff, that whatever. I don't know. This is ridiculous. Anyway, everybody's, you know, going to hide in some cave or go to some, there's renouncing their U.S. citizenship. A lot of good that does. World government. Okay, world government. So where are you going to go? You got a little place on the moon that you're going to go to. You can renounce your citizenship all you want. Where are you going to go? Oh, my gosh. The Ozarks? Yeah, okay. Build log cabins and be like in the days of the pioneers. That's what people are planning on doing. They don't understand, though. They don't know that they have paid mercenaries. It's going to take those settlements out. You got to know your enemy and what their capabilities are. You know, just about every American carries a mobile phone. Just about. They're just prevalent everywhere you go. Everybody's got their nose stuck in their phone. Everywhere. How I ever got through college without one, I just don't know. How'd I survive? Maybe I should do a book on it. I survived the 70s without a cell phone. Anyway, in fact, there's many consider it a right, prompting the government to actually provide subsidies. And that's to those who can't afford one of their own. Isn't that nice? So embedded in every one of these phones is RFID chip. Every one of them. They can track your every movement by GPS or cell tower triangulation. They're even telling you about that now. About it, we can track you. And what are these mysterious trackers? What are these mysterious towers they have? Now they're starting to identify the towers. I want you to know about it. But as intrusive as these devices really are, they are accepted as the norm by billions of people worldwide. You know, not only that, but no one had to force them on us. We want them. We are, it seems, the masters of our own enslavement. Is that not what they say in the quote by Dresden James, as I've read before? First of all, George Orwell, 1984, quote, "Football, beer, and above all gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult." You see. And you know, the only people that really get mad at you for speaking the truth are those people who are living a lie. So keep speaking the truth. Of course, you're not going to win any popularity contest or get any Valentine's cards, but, you know, what can I say? Sorry. But as I said the other day, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so." Now, we pay top dollar to have the best tracking devices that money can buy. I bought me a GPS several months ago. I don't worry about all that tracking stuff. I mean, if they want to find me, hell, just call me, man. I'll tell you where I'm at. I don't really care. Track me, take wherever you want to. I'll put it on my car myself. CIA want to track me? Where you want me to put it? Give it to me, I'll put it on myself. You want to watch me? Give it to me. I'll put it wherever you want to in my house. I don't really care. They can watch me, then do whatever they want. Don't bother me one lick. I know where I'm going. And I'm not doing anything that, you know, if they want to watch me, follow me, who cares? I don't care. A little kinky in the bathroom, but you know what can I say? I'm not afraid of these people. They don't bother me one lick. Even if they did bother me, don't bother me. I don't believe in fear. I'm sticking up the wazoo for all I care. They want to track me? Heck, I just put it up for them. I'll put the camera up. I wave at them. Hello? Hi? Can we move it anywhere? You see me now? Look at my teeth. There you go. So what? Watch me. You see? It's all human stuff. All human. If I'm doing something illegal, well, it might be a problem. But, granted, one can simply disconnect from the grid by throwing away their cell phone, right? No. They track your DNA through your blood DNA. They keep a track of it in computer. You're like a walking radio station. Your bones are like a prezo. You give off a certain signal frequency. They can track. The microchips make it easier to track you. The direction these new monitoring technologies are moving are coupled with continued government expansion and surveillance suggestion that microchip technology, RFID, will be non-voluntary. Those of you in the know, you already know that. Some of the bank cards got this little chip in there with certain elements in it, copper and something else, that are prelude to the 666. They'll take it from the card and they'll put it on your tattoo on your skin. Real simple. First, they got to get you used to the card. That's how it works. Remember back in the day, as Marines, we were paid cash. Here you go, Lieutenant. Boom, 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 boom. All right. Then first they said, now the next thing I said was, no, it's going directly to your bank now. Oh, whoopee. No paymaster, huh? Nope. It's going directly into your bank. Check the bank. Little by little. Isn't that cute? Technology is going to keep spreading because they keep getting behind. God keeps changing the frequency on them. So they got to keep up expanding. God never lets them sleep, never lets them rest, never lets them get control, keeps them always thinking, always moving, always inventing, and they're going to come to a brick wall one day, and they can't upgrade anymore because they'll never find the frequency, the human resonance frequency. They'll never find the frequency for their upgrades of their electronic equipment. It'll stop cold turkey. It's going to become harder and harder to avoid it, though. Easy to imagine that such a tyrannical government could do this kind of technology. If it wanted to, it could use it literally to track the movements, behaviors of everybody. Because that's their plan. One day, this kind of technology will be so pervasive that you won't be able to open a bank account or get a credit card or even buy anything without either having it in your hand or your face that's scanned first. You wonder why on the forehead. Because in your forehead, they scan you for your face recognition, and they'll have the mark up there to identify. But don't they have the face tracking technology? Yes, they do. Puts that little rectangle or square around your head in a crowd of people in Grand Central Station. Yes, they do. How about that? And so if you've got your RFID etched in your skin with that skin tattoo thing that Regina Dugan talked about, right there it is. You don't have to go from your forehead to your face scan to your hand or your wrist. Just do it on the face scan. That's the purpose of the forehead. How in the world did John of Patmos, before the first century, how did he know that? How in the world did he figure that out? Could it be supernatural by maybe an chance? I mean, even if, let's say hypothetically, that King James designed the whole Bible in 1600, that they'd never had disciples, never had prophets, it was all a big hoax. We do know the Bible came in 1611, so let's say that King James and 47 scholars in 1604, 1611 just designed the whole Bible. Let's just say that, for example, which is not true, of course. Still, how could they even fathom this mark of the beast? Even have the imagination to put it together. Somebody had to know what was happening back thousands of years ago. Could that be God by chance, a supernatural being that has created us all, who came down to us in the form of Jesus Christ to have a personal relationship? Gee, I wonder. Well, I don't wonder, but just kind of throwing it out there like a little seed. You know, it's difficult to imagine this population will be freely submitting to a digital bondage. But it's been the case with the degradation of personal privacy, as I mentioned a little while ago, and rights in America. Be assured it won't simply become a law overnight. With such a tyrannical government, tell me so. How is it that we have 800,000, 700,000 lowballing of children missing every year? And 550,000 are unaccounted for of any kind, just disappeared. How is that possible with this tyrannical government that keeps track of everything you do? You ever think about that one? All you all that spouting off, we live in a tyrannical government and all this and all that. If we do, how come they can't solve that unless they're behind it? Unless some of the police are behind it. Because they're Freemasons. Congressmen. CEOs. Military personnel. How about all of them at the highest level of control? Because they are. Eventually, once the concept is accepted by the majority, it'll become our new Social Security number. To gain access to official services, authentication, you'll need to be a verified human. Without verification, you won't even be able to purchase a six-pack of beer, a pack of cigarettes, or an Almond Joy. Let alone get medical care or a driver's license. So whether you like it or not, this is the future. Every purchase you make and every step you take will be tracked by a tiny 15-digit passive microchip tattooed on your skin or your forehead, meaning that the only way to turn it off would be to physically remove it from your body. And when it does, it'll sing up an alarm and beep, 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 you know. Children and grandchildren, or at least most of them, will likely not only submit to implantation, but they'll gladly pay the cost, so they'll, too, interact with society as a meaningful way, because they won't have the parents to worry about. They'll have an international rights to the child. And if they just decide to cut themselves off, no problem. I'm tired of living. I just want to die. Oh, okay. So y'all go in this way. This is how it's going to be. Because Oregon is working on the Child Euthanasia Act now. Keep your eyes on General Boykin. He's a Knight of Malta. A liar from the start. Bosom buddy with Rick Joyner, pastor of Morningstar Ministries. High, high level. There's no doubt that our generation has seen the technology developed that could very well fulfill the end time prophecy proclaimed in the book of Revelation. Waited for all this time. We are close. We're definitely close. You know that Florida school district, y'all down in Florida, you know that Orange County public schools in Florida have changed the long-standing tradition of allowing local pastors to volunteer their time as high school football chaplains. The religious leaders have exchanged for life coaches, humanists. Make yourself happy. Victoria Osteen. Now you got it. Orange County spokesman Shara Bombinski said, quote, "They cannot have chaplains or ministers before or after games leading prayer. The school policy has been changed so that teachers and coaches are prevented from participating, quote, in a visible way with the players during student-led prayers." So they sent out a memorandum stating that the change is in response to threats of legal action from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And they got NAACP, ACLU, the FFRF, rough, whatever. You had a high school student in Tennessee, Bible Belt, received a brief in-school suspension for saying "bless you" to a fellow student who sneezed. Kendra Turner is a senior at Dyer County High School. Turner said to her computer teacher, banned the phrase "bless you" in class because it should only be allowed in church. On her Facebook page, Turner said her teacher told her, quote, "We do not do godly speaking in my class." She said she stood up for her belief and said, "I have a constitutional right to speak about my God." Now, let me reiterate something. 1930, Charles Francis Potter, he said, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. And every American public school is a school of humanism," unquote. Humanist Charles Francis Potter, 1930. Tell me it's not effective today. Oh, please tell me. Oh, you see what's going on? How Satan has infiltrated. Now the churches is coming out openly. Right in front of our faces. I do the best I can to try to be a watchman. I'm not the watchman per se. I am a watchman. That there's many out there. I don't know else to say it. When I say that, they're going to say, "Well, what's he talking about, watchman? Who is that?" They're going to look it up. Then they're going to find out that there's many of us. It's simply someone trying to tell you the truth. That's all. I'm nobody special. We all are watchmen. You see? This is a supernatural world that we live in. And it's becoming more supernatural every day because God's pulling back his restraining spirit little by little. Why did he do that? Because we're now up to 22. I believe it's 22 states that are lifted the ban for homosexual marriage. And the more they do that, the more he pulls away. The more sin that we commit per person, the more he pulls away. Because he loves you. Why? Because when he pulls away, Satan comes into our life and we start losing that joy. We start losing that connection. And you feel it. It's called conviction. And you want that back. And you know how to get it back by repenting. And he says, "Oh, okay." He takes you back. That's how it works. But if you don't feel conviction when you commit a sin, if you don't feel sorry for it, or you don't feel convicted of what you did, you better start worrying. But I go to church, and I give money in the plate, and I do good work, but I still don't feel right. Mm-hmm. Wonder why. You still lie. Knowing God, believing in God, don't get it. You got to have faith in God, trust in God, and live how He wants to live. If you can't, you ask Him to help you. There, you're getting somewhere. You see? Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. He represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. He represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. He represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. He represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. He represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Satan represents all the so-called sins because they all lead to physical, mental, and emotional gratification, like making yourself happy. Well, how you define that, making yourself happy? Oh, boy, I would not be popular in Lakewood when I would say, well, what he just said is Satanism. I would not be popular, and I sure couldn't say I'm tired because someone would say, get the feathers. I'd have to run fast, wouldn't I? Well, every now and then I have a little bit of a sense of humor. When you sort of get an idea of what's really going on, and you see it happening, this train wreck, it's really frustrating. It really is. Nobody was still want to hear. You know, you try to shake them, but then you say, well, shaking them's not going to do anything. You're going to find, there's a little verse that some of you already figured this out. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And boy, I tell you what, it is on its way. Now our troops are committing suicides, being suicided, left and right. I explained yesterday the mind control, how it could be done. They've reduced the morals by humanistic teaching in the schools. It all leads up to that end result. That the only way out is to die. And so the New World Order attack on our troops is full steam ahead. Robert Nestlund, in an open letter, Stockholm, Sweden, INMC, back in 1993, he said, I quote, "This is the second implanted transmitter. This device appeared under rather unusual circumstances on 10th of March, listen to the date, 1972, when I became tranquilized in the hotel where I was temporarily lodging. This implantation preceded a period of prolonged torture with personality-altering radio signals 10 to 20 hours a day, and they started communicating directly with my brain. It was then I realized that they could discern my thoughts and indeed experience my entire range of cognitive activity. The picture was taken at Karolinska Hospital, where all radiographers deny that any foreign object can be identified in," and it shows a picture of an object in his body. "However, there are a number of overseas physicians who testify the obvious fact that several transmitters can be seen quite clearly. As a matter of fact, unquote. As a matter of fact, Dr. Robert G. Heath of Tulane University has implanted as many as 125 electrodes in the human being's brain. In his experiments, he discovered he could control his patient's memories, sexual arousal, fear, pleasure, and cause hallucinations. Sounds like something of science fiction, don't it? Now, you remember I said, did you notice the date of Robert Nestlund, 1972, right? All right. I have before me, not the actual study, in my possession. In 1973, about a year later, unrelated, completely unrelated to Dr. Robert Heath, unrelated to Robert Nestlund's testimony, not connected in any way, short form or fashion. I found a monograph, a 92-page monograph study. Official title is Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. It was bootlegged out of a federal government building, Xeroxed copy, maybe inspired by the Pentagon Papers. Somebody saw it, took control of it, made copies, put them back, something like that. But it escaped. And they couldn't stop the printing of it and the distribution of it. You'll find this description in Glasshouse Tapes by Lewis Tackwood, a member of the Los Angeles Police Department that was involved in the plot to assassinate Spiro Agnew to set up Nixon's plan for dictatorship. And I've confirmed this through outside means that he actually planned a dictatorship with General Cushman of the Marine Corps in 1972 to 74. That would have been the fourth attempt, or the third attempt of a dictatorship in America since 1933. I got all the evidence, and a lot of it's not connected. So it's not like I found it in one study. I found it all over the place, even in articles. Well, Lewis Tackwood was a member of the LAPD that was going to assassinate Spiro Agnew to justify martial law at the Republican Convention in 1972 in San Diego. All that was set up. Americans have no idea. Well, he also comes clean with talking about this device. Now, this is the short of it. I've just told you. I mean, I could talk another hour on what I've just told you about. The idea here was rehabilitation. Their thesis was rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. A miniaturized radio transmitter implanted in the brain or body would monitor and transmit conversations, locations, even the sexual response of the subject 24 hours a day. And this report, as I've read it, explains that when they sewed up inside the subject's body with a transponder would be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. The device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. Now, Dr. Robert and Ralph Schwetzebel, twin brothers, one of them's from Harvard, of course, they were dwelling on homosexuals as a test subjects. So, they mentioned in the monograph paper, the study, they talk more also about offenders' financial matters, financial obligations, and those that are socially troublesome persons. Socially troublesome persons. Now, the paper goes so far as to predict micro-miniaturization, in other words, making them smaller. Now you have nanobot technology, and now you have been able to trace you by your DNA. How about that? So the new program related to civil rather than criminal situations. So that way, the cruel and unusual punishment, that clause in the Eighth Amendment would not present any serious obstacle to implementing the plan. And by the way, there was a National Security Agency computer specialist back in the 70s proposed reaching or attaching a miniature electronic tracking device to 20 million Americans, like to do sharks. Or your dogs. But first you got to test it on dogs. And you don't want to lose your children, do you? No, you don't. So let's test it on the children before we put it on a population in the world. And then they recommended that the government back then spend its budgets on prisons and police and judges and all that, was shifting a small portion of the defense budget away from development of weaponry to devices for measuring and possibly reinforcing desirable behaviors in large groups. That was 38 years ago. They used mental patients as test cases in Karolinska Hospital. Yeah, how about that, huh? Well, watch this. Check this out. Now, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to start yelling and throwing things and beating on my desk. I don't know if I'm telling you or telling me. But I am highly ticked off. But I'm not going to show it. I found an article dated May the 28th, 2014. And it says, veterans, that the military is building brain chips to treat post-traumatic stress. How dumb do they think we are? How dumb are they? And don't forget the Paul Rykoff, traitor, liar, and Illuminati. You will be judged by a power much higher than anybody on this earth. And so you joint chief of staff. Liars, Luciferians, and traitors to this country, and traitors to the world, and traitors to your families. And cowards, every one of you. Because you don't stand up for the truth. Because you're cowardly. So, in this article, it's somewhat of a dilemma, I would say, for many folks in the military. The ability to treat anxiety, depression, memory loss that's created by the post-traumatic stress, the psychotropic drugs that they give your children also. Because kids are being kids. A little hyper, are they? Well, we need to dumb them down with post-traumatic stress that they're having, or this ADHD. Your kid is terrible. ADHD, we got to calm him down. Pump these drugs into him. We'll turn him into a mass murderer. Anytime we want to, with a microchip. But first, you got to get these pills in there. It's got the microchip in the pill. Confirmed, Regina Dugan. They put the microchips in the darn pills and the vaccines. So, the Pentagon is developing a new innovative brain chip to treat post-traumatic stress in soldiers. Veterans that could bring sweeping new changes to the way depression, anxiety is treated for millions of Americans. Isn't that nice? There's just one small problem with it. It can kill them anytime they want to. Or render them null and void as a human being anytime they desire. Or they can cause an electrical shock in the body. And cause a heart attack. Or find them with a harp. That's the slight rub to it, that they're not telling our veterans. I'm mad. You know, with 12 million, potential 26 million more, if benchmarks are met, actually, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, or should I say DUPA, wants to reach deep in your brain soft tissue to record, predict, and possibly treat anxiety, depression, and other maladies of mood and mind, besides killing you anytime they want to. They don't tell you that. I just did. Teams from University of California in San Francisco. Where? What did I just say? University of California? Where have I heard that name before? You know I'm being sarcastic, don't you? Well, let me see. Where have I heard that name, University of California, before? Look at there. Education Council of Foreign Relations members. Back in 1993, 94. Where 300 educators, including 30 presidents of premier colleges and universities, are on the Council of Foreign Relations rolls. And those institutions include Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Stanford, MIT, Cornell, the Devil Horns place, University of Texas, University of California. Oops, well, look at there. There it is. Shut my mouth. Look at that. There's University of California. In 1990s was a member of the Illuminati. I really trust what they kind of articles they put out and what their professors. Of course I trust them. Why wouldn't you trust a Satanist or a Luciferian or a humanist in those colleges? They're such nice people. University of St. Louis, Rockefeller University, John Hopkins, University of Chicago, University of Miami, City College of New York, y'all, and George Washington University. Now that's 1994. In 20 years, they pulled in about every other college you can imagine, including University of Rochester, Lord knows how many more. That's connected, University of Wisconsin, that do experiments, Duke University, oh my gosh, Wake Forest, oh la-di-da-da. You know, they use the colleges for recruiting in the Illuminati, partially, and then test casing your kids, and then brainwash the next generation. Getting ready for the humanistic movement of the New World Order. Oh, you'll love this. Look at here. Watch this. Teams from University of California in San Francisco. Lawrence Livermore National Lab. Oh, goodness. And Medtronic will use the money to create a cybernetic implant with electrodes extending into the brain. The military hopes to have a prototype within 5 years and then plans to seek FDA approval. A prototype in 5 years? Man, this goes back to 1973. What a bunch of liars. I've just proven it. The liars that they are. Attach it to the brain. Now you see, you know, you know, I mean, what do I do? I mean, what can I do? What in the world? How can I get this across to other veterans? That you're fighting the wrong enemy. That you don't know the enemies within you. Oath Keepers, militia, Tea Party. You have infiltrators inside your organization. I've been telling this for years. Those have been my regular listeners. You can vouch for it. How about this?
Machine interfaces. A technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man. the cyborg, the robot man. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine, or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain.
We're using a rat.
Just going to go through each one of these arms.
A rat.
One, two,
through a labyrinth.
Four, five, six.
Is that why I like cheese?
I'll just do it.
Here we go.
But a third option is also possible. One brain controlling another brain via the interface. How does this work in the case of the robot rat? All you need, in fact, are three well-positioned electrodes. Two electrodes in the sensory cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. In the process of creating a cyborg, this is square one. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement. In Boston, the first machine-brain interface trials have already been conducted on paraplegic patients. Thanks to an electrode chip called the brain gate, they can operate a computer remotely by thought. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency. Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future.
This is a new deal, gentlemen.
Enemy center of gravity is downtown.
Let's get a good view from here.
A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of the battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears?
Are they already here? Here we go. It's a real firefight. Listen to the words.
Yeah. Dude, look at me. People all.
Dude, those two people.
You see who pulled up in the white car? I shot that dude in the white car, ran in.
Oh, yes. You can get it. Yes, naughty little boys. Yes. 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 Yes.
We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement.
You little f***! Shoot at us! You little f***! Die!
We're going to reach a level of control. The more we learn about the brain, the more researchers discover how little our consciousness and will control our choices and behaviors. Our way of living might be completely transformed by the convergence of neuroscience, genetics, and nanotechnology.
I think I covered it pretty well today. Maybe I missed some things, but I have a short period of time. I could do this in 3 or 4 hours. But I try to condense it into 2 hours to show you, as much as I can, the impact of what I'm trying to get across to people. That don't doggone listen, and hoping that these get out to other places. Because I know you all that listen now, I'm preaching to the choir. You know. So it's those outside of this purview, outside of this broadcast, that I'm trying to get across to. You already know this, a lot of you here. Satanism is prevalent in our military bases. When I say Wicca and Satanist and all that, you're thinking, well, those guys that live up in the mountains. No, I'm talking about Romney. I'm talking about the Pope. I'm talking about your presidents, Queen Elizabeth. I'm talking about the highest level of government, CEOs, Bill Gates. I'm talking about the whole doggone lot of them are Satanists and Luciferians. Clinton, the whole darn lot of them. Jimmy Carter, FDR, most certainly, and those that are Freemasons and Knights of Malta under the guise of being benevolent. Rick Joyner, Jerem Boykin. Am I missing anybody at all? Maybe I missed a few hundred people. Reagan, Nixon. Now you understand. I'm not talking about in deep, dark places and covens in some Asheville, North Carolina, or on Virginia Beach and wives of witchcraft in America. I'm talking about your government. I'm talking about the European government, the Scandinavian government. I'm talking about African government, Russia, Putin, every doggone one of them, China. They work together under this Luciferian agenda. Playing like they don't. You see?
This is a list of 23 key mind control related devices that have been issued patents from the United States Patent. This is a list of 23 key mind control related devices that have been issued patents from the United States Patent Office between 1956 and 2003. Many of these patents are microwave technology used in electromagnetic mind control and organized stalking of individuals with directed energy weapons. This is not a list of all patented mind control technology and devices in the United States. This is only some of them. National Security Agency devil worshippers, known to be working long-range takeover plans here spanning several generations, were also known to have plans to use many of these technologies to mind control the planet, including the United States population. These satanic mind control monsters are still inside of our government today, running the show behind the shield of the National Security Act of 1947. Other mad scientists, such as Dr. M.A. Persinger, inventor of the God Helmet, and authority on electromagnetic mind control via microwaves, have further developed electromagnetic mind control using these patented technologies.
Sound familiar?
What Dr. Persinger is saying is that virtually any mental state can be artificially injected into a human brain from an exterior source. The most frightening thing is that the means for doing this already exists in a fully operational form on a worldwide basis. Quote, the power levels for these amplitudes are similar to those associated with the signals generated globally by radio and communication system. Within the last 2 decades, a potential has emerged which was improbable, but which is now marginally feasible. This potential is the technical capability to influence directly the major portion of the approximately 6 billion brains of the human species by generating neural information within a physical medium within which all members of the species are immersed, unquote. Dr. Persinger's message, minus the jargon, is that the entire human race can be controlled through the use of electromagnetic influence piggybacked on television and radio networks or other technological means.
Effectively, all consciousness is due to electromagnetic patterns generated within the brain. What we do is imitate
Dr. Michael Persinger
and apply it experimentally.
Like, you know, where are these thoughts coming from?
Those thoughts came from the neuroscience laboratory at Laurentian University in Sudbury, Ontario.
I've got one that can see.
Yes, and they, that movie. They tell you everything in front of the movie.
He's a tall, Caucasian male, doesn't appear armed, wearing sunglasses.
I don't like this one bit. Not one bit.
So, toward the end of the program today, I know I've inundated you with quite a few things this past 2 days. Family, they lose. Tomorrow, I want to talk about antidepressants, school shootings, suicides, addictions that's linked up to this today. That they targeted your children with the same technology. They built some of these towers next to schools for experimentation. Nobody said a word. Not a word about it. Now they're starting to tell you, oh, by the way, these mysterious towers, what are they doing there? Well, they know. Family, Jesus Christ is real. They're trying to synthesize demonic activity. Holy Spirit is over this. This is a supernatural war that you're in. That's the bottom line. Praying the full armor of God onto your body, onto your soul, in your spirit, every day. You're going to start seeing supernatural activity of those that's not protected. You're going to have problems in your home when you're trying to be born again, when you're trying to do the right thing. You're going to have disruptions, interruptions, job, family, loved ones, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, to keep you from doing it, and they won't even know they're being used. Turn it around. When you see it coming, witness the love of Jesus. Witness how to become born again, and turn it around on them. Make it work in your favor of bringing others to Jesus. It is supernatural what's going on. Your highest level of government are Satanists, Luciferians, and they control. For now, they want toward the end. They believe they're going to escape, but they will not. Those that go to underground bases and are going to hide it out are going to die down there. There's no escape for them once they go under the ground. They will be taken out by the Nephilim and the supernatural race that will come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and they will die in those grounds. There's no escaping it. Above ground, below ground, in caves or otherwise. Family, see Jesus. Seek Jesus. Between you and him, no clergy in between, no church, no religion. And the King James Bible is the only instruction book. There are no others. And there's a 100% chance that they've lost this war. It's not a matter of seeing they go to hell. It's a matter of trying to witness so they don't, no matter who it is. To take those souls away from Satan by witnessing Jesus Christ to them, no matter who they are. Watchmen. Well, now, we've come to the end. Tonight, 8 to 9 is Bible study. And last night we talked about the lies about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls that's going around today. I uncovered that. I'm going to send that one out shortly to distribution and expose the lying that they're doing about the end times events that's being predominant. Calvinists, preterists, Satanists, Luciferians, New Agers, whatever. We're trying to get you to believe that the tribulations have already happened. That's a lie. Absolute total lie. We're not even the first seal. We are close, but we're not in the first seal yet. 7 years it is once it starts. Don't wait around. Time's short. That's my point of revealing all this, to show you how Satan really does it, to show you it's real. So they'll say, well, gosh, it's my kind of ministry to show you the real on earth events that are taking place. That's how Lucifer is leading people to the other side. And what to avoid exactly. And what to pray against exactly. What to protect yourself against exactly. To let you all know, I broadcast some Bible studies are being played at highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, Herkler, at highpointradio.net. Visit my website, which I use primarily for my archives and my broadcasting. I don't have a lot of bells and whistles on it. I just use it for my broadcasting primarily. And I've got studies there that you can download, but don't use them to make a book out of. I don't, you don't. But use them to get the information out and use it. Also, I've got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, that you can visit. It's grown quite large. So, tonight, 8 to 9 Bible study, and tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we're going to hit the ground running. Y'all have a good night. God bless. This is the Watchman, signing off.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.